Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. We are excited just to be back in studio today. Last week, if you paid attention to the news and all that was going on in Texas, you understand that we were really hit by a weather event like we've never experienced in many, many years. Our power was out here in our building. And then when we thought it might be turned back on, Greg came in last Thursday, and he was greeted by a burst pipe that fed the fire sprinkler system in the building. So our landlord had to shut down the building Thursday and Friday, and fortunately they were able to fix it over the weekend, and we are back here. And we went from sub-zero degree weather last week. Today, I think it's around 70 degrees. But so last week was certainly a challenge for us. Many of you heard repeat broadcast from our teaching series on the book of Hebrews. And you just can't beat a teaching series on the book of Hebrews. That is one powerful, powerful book. I listened to a theologian not too long ago, and he said, if I only had one book of the Bible that I could take with me, it would be the book of Hebrews, because he thought it was the most magnificent piece of writing in all of the Word of God, and really captures the essence of the Bible from beginning to end. So I know many of you were blessed in hearing those broadcasts, those teaching programs on the book of Hebrews. But we're here live today, broadcasting from our studio in Lewisville, Texas. And boy, it sure feels good. We were all ready to get back to work, get back into the office, and get back to talking with you live from these microphones. So it feels really good to be back here in the studio. Again, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. 844-322-2742 is the number you can call right now. Speaking of the book of Hebrews, what the book of Hebrews is all about is this. It is about the new covenant. The writer of Hebrews is making the point that this new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in through his death on the cross is superior in every aspect to the old covenant. The old covenant is the Mosaic covenant. The centerpiece of that covenant is the Ten Commandments, those commandments that were etched by the finger of God on tablets of stone. But we have a far superior covenant that was mediated by a far superior priest, and that is Jesus Christ himself. Now, we see the kind of the covenant spelled out for us in Hebrews chapter 8, starting in verse 10. And he says, "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Now by calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear." So this is a covenant that was prophesied by Jeremiah in his prophecy, and the people of Israel lived in anticipation of the time when this covenant would go into place. Well, when Jesus showed up and when he gathered his disciples for that last Passover feast with them, he raised the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant." He was about to usher that in through his death on the cross. And there at the cross 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ brought an end to the old. He fulfilled it in every aspect, everything that was written in that Mosaic covenant. Jesus Christ fulfilled in completeness. And then he ushered in a brand new covenant. And it's this new covenant that we live in today. And as I said, it is better than the old covenant in every aspect. Paul contrasts the two in his letter to the Corinthians, his second letter to the Corinthians. He says, the old was a ministry of condemnation and death. This new is a ministry of righteousness and life. So it's through this new covenant that we are given the gift of righteousness, that we are made alive together with Christ, and that we can experience eternal life to its full measure. I'm not going to do that in the old covenant. Under the old covenant, you're going to constantly come under its condemnation, under its judgment. You're going to feel fear and guilt and frustration and all of those sort of things, because no matter how hard you try, you're never going to be able to live up to those righteous requirements. That's why God sent Jesus. And this new covenant is different in nature and essence. It was a covenant that was established within the Godhead, and we are simply the beneficiaries. It is the covenant of grace. And this, for the rest of this month and all of the month of March, we're going to be talking about this new covenant that we live in today as believers in Christ. And so I think it's so vitally important for us to come to a point in our lives and to recognize that we're new covenant believers. We're not a mixture of old covenant and new. We are new covenant believers. And when we understand that, then we start to truly experience all the blessings of this new covenant. So we are new covenant believers. We have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands for this week and all the month of March. It is a Bible study guide that we put together a number of years ago called The New Covenant Journey. And we want you to take this journey with us through the month of March and really come to an understanding of the rest that you can experience through faith in Jesus Christ and the fullness of life that you can enjoy as a result of all the promises and blessings that God has provided for you through the work of Jesus Christ that's been given to you in this new covenant. So to get your copy of The New Covenant Journey, you can go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click on the donate button, follow the instructions there, and be sure and request your copy of The New Covenant Journey. This particular Bible study series, I've worked through this with a number of groups, and it's just amazing the growth that I see in people's lives when they recognize and come to that point that they make a declaration in their own hearts that they are new covenant believers. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. So glad to be with you on this Monday, and glad that you have tuned us in. We would love to hear from you on this broadcast, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Well, we had several calls that came in while we were out of the office, and we're going to listen to this one right now.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was calling to ask, would you guys please explain the scripture, after thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. If you can answer that, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for that that question. I don't know exactly what that passage is, but it is, I think, a very simple explanation that we, as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, have the opportunity to strengthen our brothers. I mean, that's what we're called to do, every single one of us. We're called to encourage one another, to build one another up. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you look at all the gifts of the Spirit, you recognize that that you've been given the gifts of the Spirit so that you can encourage one another, so that you can build one another up. And that that is what our role is. Now, I think this verse that you're talking about, it reads this, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. We're talking about Peter in that particular passage. And Jesus is telling Peter that before the rooster crows, that he would deny the Lord Jesus Christ three different times. Now, Peter was saying, "Hey, I would die for you. I'm gonna go with you through death. I would do anything for you." And Peter was just that type of guy. He was impetuous. He believed that he could do anything for the Lord. And I think he was going to find out that apart from Christ, he could do nothing. Now, we understand when we read the rest of the story that indeed Peter denied the Lord three different times. But after the resurrection of Jesus Christ restored him. He looked right into Peter's eyes and asked him, "Do you love me?" And Peter had a hard time answering that question, got a little frustrated with the conversation. But in all of that, Jesus kept saying, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And I think that's what he's referring to right here. "And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Go and tell them about the resurrected Lord and tell them that Jesus is alive, and encourage them and to give them the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I hope that helps, and we certainly appreciate your call and your question on that. Karen has this question that she wants to know.
Hi, it's Karen again. How are you guys? My question is twofold. First, for a Christian, not a Catholic, what is the meaning of Ash Wednesday for us? And then also, same with Lent. What is the meaning of Lent for a Christian? Thanks, and have a great day.
Well, Karen, we appreciate that. I think Ash Wednesday was last week, and it is a day where many Catholic believers start their time of kind of repentance leading up to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's symbolic of the fact that we came from the dust, and to the dust that we will return. And so that's the meaning of the ashes. But it's really a day of repentance. It's a day of kind of looking at your life, a lot of introspection there, leading up to the death of Jesus Christ, and then the day of resurrection. So I think Ash Wednesday is always 46 days before Easter. And Lent is just that time, and many people give up various things during the Lenten season to kind of sacrifice and that sort of stuff, just in preparation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I think we as believers that really look at the gospel message, I think every day for us, we remember the fact that Jesus Christ died, that Jesus Christ took away our sins, and that we are forgiven people. And we are forgiven not based on anything that we've done, not based on us feeling sorry or any of those sort of things. We are forgiven because Jesus chose to shed his blood. And when we rest in that finished work of Jesus Christ, we experience rest in our souls. So that's vitally important for us to understand. Jesus Christ doesn't dole out forgiveness sin by sin, day by day. When you receive Christ, Karen, you receive forgiveness of sins. Paul wrote this in his letter to the Ephesians: "In Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." That's something that you receive the moment that you believed. Peter, in his in his message to Cornelius and his family there in Caesarea by the sea. He ended that with words saying that everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sin. So this is something that we receive when we receive Jesus. So if you're in Christ, then there's no condemnation for you. You have been made righteous, which means your sins have been forgiven. Talk about good news. That is good news. And in this new covenant, and that's why we're going to spend the time over the next 4 or 5 weeks really exploring the new covenant. But in this new covenant, God says this, that he remembers our sins no more. So a lot of times we try to drag our sins up. We try to lay them before the Lord time and time and time again. And God is saying to us, hey, I dealt with those 2,000 years ago in this new covenant. I remember them no more. I want you to remember the fact that Jesus died for your sins. I want you to remember that he took away your sins once and for all, that he sent them away as far as the east is from the west. And because you are in him, you are a forgiven person. So I think once the Christian world would, if the Christian world would really grab hold of that truth, we would just see explosive growth within Christianity. Why? Because we would not be so sin conscious. We would not be so focused on trying to do something with our sins, do something to get God to look at us again. We would recognize that he's for us, not against us. We would recognize that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And in recognizing those truths and resting in those truths, we're going to be able to grab hold of this life that we have in Christ, and we're going to be able to enjoy it to the full. And my goodness, what would the world say when they saw believers truly living out the fullness of their life in Christ Jesus? Well, Karen, thanks for that call. We certainly appreciate that. Always good to hear from our listeners. We do have some open lines right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. So go ahead and pick up that phone and dial right now. In the meantime, we had this question that came from Jay, and Jay lives up in Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan, and he says this, thank you for your commitment to bringing the gospel message into our lives. I need of your help with understanding Matthew chapter 16, verses 17 through 19. Matthew 16, verses 17 through 19, and especially how verse 19 plays out in the early church and in today's setting. Well, this is one of my favorite passages in the Word of God. It takes place in a beautiful setting in Caesarea Philippi, which is in the northern regions of Israel, the country of Israel. I've been there so many times. It is also where the headwaters of the Jordan River can be found. And so it's significant that Jesus took his disciples there. And he asked them the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus Christ said, this is information that was revealed to you by God the Father. So that wasn't something that Peter figured out through observation or through intellect or through study of the Word of God necessarily. No, it was information that was revealed to him by God the Father. And so he made the confession. And we all make that same confession that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. And in believing in him, we receive eternal life. That is the foundation of the church, isn't it? We all are gathered together around the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 19, he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Now, Peter was given keys. Now, some look at this as Peter being kind of the first pope, and there's this succession that flows from him. But this has really some practical implications in the beginning of the Church of Jesus Christ. So Peter was given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, basically the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was the one who was present when the Holy Spirit was given to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. So Peter stood and he said, hey, we're not drunk. This is the fulfillment of a prophecy, God pouring out his Spirit among mankind. He stands up and preaches a message concerning Jesus, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the people there, their hearts were pricked, and they said, what must we do to be saved? And that moment, 3,000 people were added to the body of Christ as they received the gift of God's Spirit. So Peter took the key to the kingdom, and he unlocked it for the Jewish people so that they could experience the trueness of the kingdom of the Son. And then in Acts chapter 8, we see Peter taking that same key and unlocking the door for the Samaritans. Philip had been there and talking to them about Jesus. And then Peter was summoned, and he left Jerusalem and went into the region of Samaria and saw these people whose hearts were ready to receive the gift of God's Spirit. And sure enough, they received it in exactly the same way that the Jews did. And then in Acts chapter 10, Peter took the key and he unlocked the door to the kingdom for the Gentile world. He marched into the house of Cornelius and he spoke a message concerning Jesus Christ to these Gentiles. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. They received the gift of God's Spirit. So Peter was there, and Peter used this key to unlock the door for those three people groups, the Jew, the Samaritan, and the Gentile. And that was a fulfillment of everything that was written in the Old Testament, that this blessing that was originally given to Abraham, that the whole world would be blessed, is now being fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. So that's what that means. Now, the gospel message, it, in fact, binds up the brokenhearted and it sets free the captive. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see a lot of people out there in the world today who are brokenhearted, whose lives are just a mess. They're just in 1,000 different pieces. They need to be put together. They need to be made whole. Well, that's exactly what the gospel message does. And that's why Paul wrote in Colossians that in Christ you have been made complete. That gospel message puts people together. It mends the broken hearts. And then we were all under the bondage of sin and death. We were all enslaved to sin. And this gospel message sets us free. As Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, we have been set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So this gospel message is powerful in that it binds up the brokenhearted and it sets free the captive. Well, Jay, thank you so much for that question. This has been Basic Gospel. We have come to the end of this broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition. We'll look forward to joining you then. In the meantime, if you could, go to basicgospel.net and be sure to order your copy of The New Covenant Journey. This is a resource that we want to put in your hands. I know it will be a blessing to you as you learn to rest in Jesus Christ and experience his life to the full. Well, so long from Lewisville, Texas. We'll see you again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.